You can learn so much from kids, and I feel like a kid myself. I kind of like to be childlike, not childish, but childlike. And there's a number of kids that are in the room today. I want to welcome all the kids here today. And here's what I'm going to ask for a brief, short little bit. I wanted to do something special with the kids. Now, listen, kids, I'm not going to ask you to do anything except for I'd love for you to come up here. Let's say kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, all of those that are in that category. And parents, if you want to accompany them to come up, you're welcome to do that. But I'm going to have you sit right here on the steps because I'm going to teach the kids a little something. Hesitantly walking up. Yes, I love it. All right, now here's the deal. I'm going to teach you a little something, and I'll try to do this so that you all can see me and I can see you. How about that? But the first thing I want to ask you is, do you know a word called paradigm? Not pair of dimes, okay? Paradigm. It means it's something that happens that changes the way you think. Now, I'm going to tell myself about liking to be a kid. I love being like a kid. And I'll tell you, a couple weeks before Christmas, I was coming out of Sam's Club, and I got on the cart, and I like to ride the cart. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you like get on the cart, and you push like this? Yeah, I know. That's crazy. Because I'm so old, and yet I like to do that. When my kids were little, they loved to be able to do that, but they started to get older, and they said, "Dad, you're like, my friends are going to see you, and they're going to think that you're crazy." But I was all by myself, and I was coming out of Sam's, and I was so excited about Christmas, and I started to ride the cart, and all of a sudden, as I'm riding it, I hear it coming from behind me, "Pastor Mark, is that you?" And I slowly got off the cart and started walking. But I like it. I like having fun. We should be able to have fun. But I'll tell you about how old I am. I'll explain how old I am. Here's how old I am. We didn't have computers or cell phones when I was growing up. I know. Isn't that crazy? When I was growing up, they didn't have cell phones. As a matter of fact, they didn't have answering machines. They did have telephones, though. Well, they did have cell phones, but they were like as big as an oven mitt, and they cost $500 per minute to use. So back then, they'd have telephones. They didn't have answering machines. So if you wanted to get a hold of your friend, you had to memorize their telephone number. Did any of you have telephone numbers memorized? Any of you have? A couple of you? Yeah, I don't even hardly remember my own telephone number anymore because I don't have to memorize it. I can just punch it into my phone. But back then, you'd have to call and call and let it ring and ring and ring. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? Okay, we didn't have computers. When we wanted to do our special reports for school, we had to get encyclopedias. Okay, here's what would happen. They would have door-to-door salesmen, and people would come by and guilt parents into believing that if they really loved their children, they'd buy an Encyclopedia Britannica that was so big that as it came off the shelf, you're like, no, 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 no. This is how our lives were. Now, the paradigm shift is my kids know how to use computers and cell phones better than I do. They know how to fix my phone when it breaks. Do you guys know how to use cell phones? You guys know how to... Listen, I'm telling you, it's a paradigm shift. Now, I'm going to show a couple of pictures on the screen. The first thing, it says new information that changes the way we see everything. But you can look up there on that screen, or you can look at that screen or that screen over there. I want you to look at this picture. Go ahead and put this picture on the screen. Okay, now the question is that a rabbit or a duck? Kids, tell me, which is it? Duck, duck, duck. Oh, she said it could be either. That's exactly right. Because if you look at it from one way, it looks like it's the mouth of a duck, right? And then if you kind of turn your head the other way, it looks like rabbit ears. And then you can see the eyes and... It's okay. Now that's called a paradigm shift. Okay. You can see things from different perspectives. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And I want you to see this. Okay. Now, is this a young woman or an old woman? Oh, you think it's both. What do you think? Young? Okay. What do you see? Both? Okay. See, so the fact is it's both. You can see, how many of you see the young woman? Okay. How many see the turning away? She's turning away. And how many see the older woman? It's all about the difference in perspective. Now, here's what I want to share with you. Years and years and years ago, well, let me ask you first the question. Does anybody know the shape that our earth is? Anybody know what that shape is? What is it? It's a circle. That's right. But they used to think that it was flat. Okay, there's a paradigm shift. They found out more information that changed their perspective, and they realized it's round. And there's some other things like airplanes. They didn't think before that man could fly. And now all of a sudden we have airplanes that you can put hundreds of people on at one time. So here's this story that I want to read to you. And in Matthew chapter 14, go ahead and put those on that on the screens if you would. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. Everybody, you kids say in trouble. You've never been in trouble before, right? I'm sure. Never, ever been in trouble. No. Oh, she's honest. Okay. Her parents said yes and amen. Okay. For a strong wind had risen. They were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning. How many of you were up at 3 o'clock this morning? Anybody up at three? Ooh, she was playing video games or something. I don't know. You two were up. Were you up at three? Wow. And you are so tired that you're just ready to lay it out. I got you. I feel you. Trust me, I'm saying I feel you, buddy. I understand what you're going through. Jesus came toward them walking on the water. Look what happened. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." They were scared to death. Now let's keep going. Jesus spoke to them at once and said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage." And why did he say take courage? These next three words, and I want all of you to say these words with me. I am here. Can you say that? I am here. See, we can't have courage when he's not there. But when he is there, we don't have to fear anything. Do you know that when God is with you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what problems you're facing, God can be with you. And when he's there, you can feel comforted. You don't have to feel afraid anymore. Let's go to this next part. It says, then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you," see, he didn't even really know if it was him or not. He said, "If it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went to the other side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Now watch what happens after this. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. When that happened, he had seen all these other miracles that Jesus had done. But when they saw this miracle, they said, "You really are the Son of God, we believe." And I want you kids to understand something. There's a passage of scripture that says that if you haven't seen and believe, you'll receive a greater blessing. It's one thing to see and believe, right? You see that there's all these wonderful people smiling at you. You see that we're in a nice building with lights on. You can see all that stuff. But when you know that you know that you know that God is real, even when you can't see the result, that's what honors God, believing him. And when you believe him, when you put your full trust in him and not doubt, the Bible says that he'll give you courage and he'll give you the ability to stand up for what's right. I want to pray over you kids and all these that are out here. Lord, we thank you for hearing your word, and I pray that each one of these kids would receive that word of faith to realize, like Peter, if they'll just step out of the boat onto the wind and the waves and even scary moments of their life, if they can just trust you, God, I pray they'd put their heart in your hands, that, Lord, you would be their guiding light and that you would teach them how to live. In Jesus' name, Amen. Kids, I want you to head back to your parents. And if you can't find your parents, make sure to come back here so I can help you find your parents. You need to understand, friends, that today as we think about that scripture, there's a key lesson. And I like the way that we do that where we have the kids come up, because I use those specific words that they can understand. But I think parents and those that are adults often get more out of those kid teachings than they do the adult teachings. Because we all on the inside are like children that need to be led toward the way. And today I want to teach you about what God has to say in that key scripture, Matthew 14:29. Peter went to the other side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. He stepped out onto the unknown because he knew that he could trust Jesus. Friends, we're here at a new season at DFA. We're at a new year in 2017. We're in a new time period in history where God could carve out something miraculous. And if you're not careful, you could miss it. The other disciples missed the opportunity to participate in the miraculous. There was only one that got out of the boat. There was only one that had courage to step out beyond seeing what the wind and the waves were creating. He was willing to step out into the unknown to see the miraculous take place. There's two pillars of this church that I've mentioned before, but I'll mention it again. Really, every church that has any positive result biblically is going to stand on these two principles: to love God and to love others. First, to love God is to worship. That's what we did this morning. But it's not just a song that we sing. It's an atmosphere we create. It's the heart. Out of that overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, where you can't help but praise God. Man, when something goes good, you're praising God. And even when something goes wrong, you're still worshiping Him. It's an atmosphere. It's a lifestyle. Worship is not a song. It's a lifestyle. If you get caught up in worship being a song, then you won't be happy when they don't sing the song that is your favorite on a Sunday morning. But if you recognize worship is a lifestyle, you come in here and it doesn't matter what song they sing, or if they sing it well like they did today, or if they mess up all the keys and do it wrong, it still won't bother your worship. Because it's a lifestyle, it's an atmosphere you create. The second, of course, is to love others. It's twofold. That's where we love one another. That's called fellowship within the church. And that's called evangelism, loving the world. You know what's scary to me when I think about the most sought after scripture, the most memorized scripture? John 3:16, for God so loved what? The world that he what? That he gave his one and only son. Think about that. There are Christians today that say they love God, but they hate the people of the world. How is that possible? If God so loved the whole world that he gave, then shouldn't we as believers then turn and love the world the way Christ did? Look at this in 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says it like this. This is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us. And here's the example we're supposed to follow. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. See, we're on assignment. How many of you have moved here from the north? How many people have moved in from the north? Okay, so you got some northerners, so we know what snow is. Good, okay. How many of you moved from the east coast? Any east, from the east, southern? All right, yes. How about west? The west? Anybody from the west coast, the west side? Yeah, okay, great, welcome. How many of you are from the deep south? Come on, any southerners we got in the building? Okay, y'all. We will use the word y'all and sweet tea a lot. But the fact is, no matter where you came from or where God brought you from, like puzzle pieces, he put us together for this season. Because in his perspective, he saw something that we could not see. The mission he put in us is clear. Reach this city. To have a hunger and an unwavering passion to meet the needs of this lost community. To find the spiritual needs and to meet them in Jesus' name. To love a lost community. To fall in love with Dothan and to fall in love with this region. That's our mandate. That's our calling. It's our calling to serve this city well. And when you learn how to serve your city well, it means that everything you do becomes a reflection of who you serve. That everywhere you go, you become a reflection of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And the reality is that we could do more together than we ever dreamed of doing apart. But the mission has always been clear. The mandate from God has always been clear. Go into the world and preach the gospel. To love them in so many ways that they can at least enjoy one of them and find Christ in the middle of it. Let me quickly give you the power and understanding the power of three things, because without understanding these three things, I don't think you can fully accomplish the goal for 2017. How many of you have written out some goals for 2017? Anybody done the New Year's resolutions thing? Okay, one of you. Okay, praise God, my wife. Okay, yeah, a couple kids. Hey, we got to work on that, folks. We got to work on that. You need to write down those goals and say, God, what would you have for me in 2017? How will you know if you hit the mark by the time you hit 2018? At 365 days from now, how will you know if you live the way God intended for you to live if you have no goals written out that says, God, this is what, and I'm not talking about, you know, you could have gaining exercise or losing weight or financial goals or things like that, but I'm talking about even deeper than that. What does God have for you on this earth to accomplish in 2017? Does anybody have a mandate or a goal from God that they say, God said, I want this from you in 2017? Because guess what? I guarantee you, if you've got breath in your lungs, he's asking you to accomplish something great for him. Let's understand these three things. First of all is the power of God's paradigm. The power of God's paradigm. Write that down in your notes if you would, please. First, consider that power of paradigm. A paradigm is a major shift, a major change where we see something differently and it changes the way we think. In the medical realm, in the medical community, this happened years ago when they started doing DNA work and blood work. They began to find out these genetic codes, these DNA codes that were different. And they were trying to cure incurable diseases at the time. That's why they were doing this study, is how can they find a way to help people that had incurable diseases get a cure? So they were doing research and development to study out these things. But you know what it did? Inadvertently, it changed the criminal justice system. Why? Because all of a sudden now with DNA evidence, they could go back and retry old cases to prove that some people that were put in prison, they were falsely accused and they didn't belong there. So for many years after having served time that they never should have served, they were now freed because of DNA evidence and that proof. See, the medical community didn't go out to find a new way for criminal justice to happen. They just were looking for a cure, but they found something more distinctive, and it changed everything. Think about in the religious realm when Martin Luther tacked those 96 theses on the wall of the doors of the Roman Catholic Church. He reintroduced this concept called justification by faith, meaning this: you don't have to go to a priest, you don't have to go to a pastor to be absolved or pay some sort of penance. You can go to God right now all by yourself and ask him for forgiveness. You can go straight to God, the Bible says, to the throne of grace, where you'll find mercy. That's what God intended for you. But it took a moment in time where someone got a clue and stepped out in faith and believed God for something. It's called the power of a paradigm. Let's talk about the power of God's perspective for a moment. We all have a perception. And I want you to think about your perception of life right now. Think about the times where maybe you decided you were going to do something a little bit different and you wanted to see something from a different perspective. Now, I just like to play on things, and that's why I'm in this lift today. This has nothing to do with a message. I'm just kidding. It has everything to do with a message. This, my friends, is called perspective. Matter of fact, I'm getting a perspective right now that many of you in this room, I did not realize, but I'm glad you are follically challenged just like me. Wow, I have a lot more friends than I thought. I want you to think about God's perspective for a moment. I came back from Atlanta last night. We went to the Peach Bowl, and right before that, they had the Peach Bowl parade. And in that parade, I got to watch a parade for the first time in a different perspective. Usually, you watch a parade, and you see them going by, and you can just see whatever the next float is or whatever the next band is. You can see it just individual perspectives. But you know what's amazing to me? I got to watch it from a hotel, and so I looked down and I saw not just the parade right in front of me, but I got to see the entire parade from start to finish. Do you understand God's perspective is broader than yours? His perspective is greater than yours. You, in your own thinking, believe that what you see in front of you is all that God sees. But can I tell you, God sees it from the beginning to the end. He knows the way it's going to work out in your favor. But for some of us in this room, we don't see it from God's perspective because we haven't prayed for God's perspective. We want to have our own perspective, and when somebody sends us a text and we presume that they meant one thing when they didn't say what, you know, they didn't say what we wanted them to say. You know what's funny? Since texting has come out, there's been more fighting. You want to know why? Because the majority of communication is volume, is language, and is, 80% is just simple body language. You're communicating with your body what you're saying. See, the heart cannot be felt in a text. I'm not anti-text. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but a lot of fights begin because somebody read through the filter of their own perspective. It's limited, friends. When you don't see it from God's perspective, you'll, like the disciples, freak out and say, there must be a ghost. Or you can be like a faith-filled, water-walking disciple that says, I'm going to see this from God's perspective. This is my moment for a miracle. I don't know through human history how many people have walked on water, but I'm certain at least one human being that was not God incarnate did it. And it was somebody who kept his eyes focused on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of his faith. Friends, for some of you, you need God's perspective today. This is your paradigm. I want this moment to be burned into your brains as you begin to think about 2017. May you never, ever see it from your own perspective, but may you see it from God's perspective, that when you look out beyond all the problems and the circumstances of life, you see it from God's point of view. May you never look back and say, it was me, it was mine, it was what I wanted, it was what I desired, it was my dreams. No, it was God's dream all along for you. Do you understand that today God sees a perspective that you don't see? He sees a neighbor that maybe you've overlooked. He sees lost loved ones that are going to be found in Jesus' name in 2017. But will you believe for the impossible? Will you dream for the impossible? Will you believe, God, that now you stand in faith, you don't yet see, but on the other side of this year, you will see God's hand of favor moving upon your life? I believe, God, for miracles this year. I'm believing, God, for healings this year. I'm believing, God, for those that are lost to come home. I'm believing for drug addicts to come off of drugs this year. I'm believing, God, for the alcoholic to stop with the booze and to come back to know Jesus as the true Messiah. Listen, friends, there's a whole lot of hurting people in this community. They need you. They need us. They need us to represent Christ well. But you can't do it from your perspective alone. You have to use God's perspective and find a way to see what he sees. This year, you're going to have a moment. It's a guarantee. There's going to be a moment where the enemy tries to fight you in one way or another. Something happens where a business deal goes sour and you can curse God and be angry like Job's wife. Or you can say, God, I still believe. I still trust you. God, I believe even when I don't see. There's going to be some of you in this room, maybe you're going to get sick or have a diagnosis that doesn't seem too favorable. And you can believe in the report of the doctor. And I'm not saying that there aren't great medical physicians, but how many understand? We stand on the report of the Lord that says we are the healed of the Lord. It doesn't mean that we don't have a cold, and we act like we don't have a cold, and we say we don't have. I'm talking about the way you speak, the things that you say out of your mouth. God, I want to walk in healing. Today, I'm going to believe you for my healing. You're going to have moments financially where fear could come in to distract you from the true provider. God is our provider. Let's shift the strategy for a moment to look from God's paradigm, the power of God's paradigm, and the power of God's perspective. And let's go to this last one, and it's the power of God's presence. Friends, you can't have God's power without God's presence. It's everything. It's what I talked about before. It's a lifestyle of worship. It's where you go to God, not just when you need something from him, like a petulant child who comes and, Daddy, I want this. Daddy, I want that. Daddy, I want this and that. And when you don't get it, you fold your arms and say, well, I guess God doesn't love me because he didn't give me what I want. Friends, do you know that there are certain times and certain seasons of life that God loves you so much that he doesn't want you to be distracted by the blessing that he wants to give you. So he wants your character to catch up with your request. And he'll take time with you to train you, to grow you, to develop you into who he desires you to become. And in 2017, I believe God is going to get the glory because there's going to be a storyline of his grace throughout this whole year for each of us. Are you going to go through challenges? Yes, you're human. Are you going to go through pain? Yes, you're human. But is God going to get the glory out of your story? That's called your testimony. Everybody wants a testimony. They just don't want a test that leads them through to a testimony. Friends, today, may you see it from God's perspective. May you have God's paradigm shift, but more than anything else. That's why we're doing these days of prayer and fasting. It's not to twist God's arm behind his back to tell him what we want him to do. No, it's to say, God, I am submitted to your authority. God, I'm beginning and ending with prayer. God, I want to submit myself to fasting and prayer to see what you have in store for 2017. And I believe when we do, not just individually, but corporately, when we do, God's going to turn some things that we never thought could turn. And he's going to shift the atmosphere. But it begins by getting in his presence. Let's pray. God, thank you for your amazing love, your word that never returns void. God, thank you for teaching us to trust you. And Lord, when the disciples, some of them did not trust you. They were fearful. They were afraid. But you said, I am here. And Lord, you're here right now in this room to meet every need. Would you keep your heads bowed and eyes closed? Please, no one looking around. There's just a moment where you get before God and you say, God, I need you. I need you in my life like I never have before. Maybe some of you in this room are Christians, believers, but you've allowed your walk with the Lord to grow stagnant. And this is your year. This is the year that you say, I'm going to start reading the Word of God each day as my daily bread. This is my year to step out in faith and believe God for the impossible. This is my year to witness to others. Christians across this room, that ought to be your mandate for 2017. But for others of you in this room, the most significant act, a willful act on your part, could be to say yes to Jesus, to make him Lord and Savior of your life. There may be some in this room, you'd say, Mark, I need Jesus to come in and clean up some really messed up areas of my life. Maybe you made some major mistakes in 2016. You know what the good news is? This is a brand new day. And with this new day, the Bible says, his mercies are new every morning. That means when you woke up this morning, God had new mercy waiting on you. So today, if that's you and you'd say, Mark, I need Jesus to come into my life. I need to make him Lord. Or maybe you'd say, Mark, I need forgiveness of my sins. Maybe you need to rededicate your life in 2017. Whatever your situation is, friend, here, I'm telling you, God wants to restore some old dreams, some lost moments. He wants to restore them and make them brand new if you'll reach out to him. If that's you and you'd say, Mark, I need Jesus to come in. I need to make him Lord, or I need to rededicate my life, or I need my sins forgiven. No matter what category you're in, I'm not here to judge you. I want to invite you into a relationship with the one who can set you free. If that's you, I want you to simply slip up your hand, acknowledging that uplifted hand. Mark, that's me. Pray for me right now, all over this place. Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, God bless you. Yes, anybody else? That's you today. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, toward the balcony, yes. God bless you on the main floor. Anyone else? That's you today. 2017 could be your greatest year, but it begins right now with this first decision to say yes to him or to rededicate. God bless you. Believers in this room, maybe you'd say, Mark, I've been living far beneath what I know God has in store for me, but this is my year. I'm believing God for amazing things, and I want to be a part of that storyline. If that's you, would you slip up your hand all over this place? Yeah, God bless you. So many hands lifted. God bless you. Let's pray this prayer, all of us together, but especially you who lifted your hands. Can you say this with me? Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's say it out loud like we mean it. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Give me a fresh start. Today, Lord, I choose to trust you with all of my life, with all of my heart, even with my past failures. And I recognize you as my Lord today. Be my Savior and be my best friend. Today, I make this day, 2017, as my year of renewal. My year of restoration, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can you put your hands together and celebrate those who made a decision? Come on, man. All of heaven rejoices. We celebrate today. We honor you today. Friends, if you raised your hand and you prayed that prayer, we know God did something amazing in your life. That's the beginning. It's just the beginning. And if you need prayer at the close of this service, these altars are open for you across this building. Now, please, nobody, including children, play on the lift, okay? Promise me you won't do that. But today, friends, what we want most, and for you and your family, we desire you to see God's hand of favor. Seek after his presence like you never have before. Turn on worship music in your car. Turn on worship. Bless you to be a blessing to this city. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Did you receive anything today? I pray you did. God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled week. We'll see you Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll see you this week. God bless you. You're dismissed.